you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Mariano.
And I'm Pauline.
And in this episode, we were discussing some things that, you know, about kind of when you get busy doing your own thing, sometimes you go a while without seeing your family, and at the same time, you are so exposed to new experiences and trying different things. And while it's great to kind of push your limits, it's also fun every now and again to slow back down and decompress a little bit, which is why we wanted to talk about four ways to kind of reduce your homesickness or keep yourself from feeling too homesick.
Right. And I think I didn't really realize how homesick that I actually really get until I went away for college. And just because I went not too far, I was about 8 hours away. I live in Northern California, but I went to school in Southern California. So that's when I kind of started first noticing how homesick that I actually get. But one tip is to kind of realize that it's normal and that people feel homesick. And that was one thing that I personally kind of like struggled with when I first went away to school, because to me, it seemed like all my friends were fine and doing like their thing. They were enjoying it. And I was just like, why am I the only one that's always so like homesick and like sad and things like that? Like, why am I the only one, you know, missing home so much to where it would really make me not want to like hang out or do things? And then it wasn't until I started like kind of being a little bit more open about it, where I would just simply say like, I'm so homesick, or like, I miss my mom and things like that, that my other friends would start saying the same thing too. And they'd be like, yeah, me too. Like, if you ever want to come over, like, let's just hang out so that we're not by ourselves, type of a thing. And that was like a really big thing for me, was realizing that I wasn't the only one and feeling like something was like wrong with me for being homesick when it seemed like everybody else wasn't, but everybody else was kind of feeling the same way. They didn't want to be the like Debbie Downer of the group and be like, I miss home and things like that. And then because I was away at school, it was actually kind of cool, because then I started befriending other people from Northern California, and that helped me. Because then we would kind of all take turns driving back to Northern California. So then I was able to go home a tad bit more often than I probably could have, because I was going back with all the rest of us homesick kids.
Or paying less gas.
Right. Exactly. So one thing is just to realize that people get homesick and that it's normal and that it's okay. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from home. Some people are fine for a while and then they realize, oh, I'm a tad bit homesick. Or some people get homesick right away. You know, there's different times for everyone. But the other thing to help with reducing like feeling homesick is to try to create relationships in a comfortable way. And that's basically one way to get over being homesick is sometimes, like for me, it's for with my example, is that I was feeling like lonely, because there would be times when I'm like homesick and then I feel more lonely. And so to create relationships in a comfortable way. So if you're like an introvert, going out to like the bar or going to big, huge social events because you're trying to force yourself to meet new people and force yourself in the middle of a crowd when you're an introvert can maybe sometimes be too overwhelming.
Right.
And so then you are so overwhelmed by everything that's going around, and there might be just too much people, like too much stimulus and too many people around, that you don't branch out because you are an introvert, and that's okay. It's just that you have to do something that's more comfortable for you. So like, if you're someone that maybe it may take like joining a club or doing something on a much more smaller scale than forcing your, like if you're just a person who doesn't like going to the bars in general, then that's not going to help you even more. Just sticking yourself at the bar or sticking yourself like at a music festival or something. I don't know. So to kind of do things in a way that's comfortable for you, do things that are kind of more familiar for you. If you're away from home and you're used to going to church on Sundays, but you haven't found like a home church or something in your new location, starting there, you know, something that's familiar to you. I kind of mentioned in the last episode that I hung out with a lot of the basketball players when I was in college because that was more familiar to me. I was no longer on the basketball team, but I was so used to hanging out with people on that played basketball that that's how I started meeting friends, was the basketball players. You know, so doing something that's more familiar to you and something that you would feel more safe and more comfortable to speak up and to branch out and to, you know, say hello to somebody new.
Right. And I think that a lot of that also comes with just the feeling of not being so alone. And when you branch out for other people, now you kind of have a support system, because a big feeling of homesickness is that I'm by myself and I'm away from everyone that loves me.
Right.
I think that the more people that you do, you know, branch out to and make it a point to try to connect with, you'll realize that no matter where you are, people, you know, are generally nice, and they're generally going to care about you and generally going to have your best interest. You know, the ones that you're friends with and get along with anyway. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a possibility, instead of kind of making things a negative in your head, like I shouldn't have done this. It becomes possible that, like, you know what, I could like it here. Maybe I'm going to have to adjust. But no one ever said that this was a bad place, you know, where I am.
Right. And so and that kind of takes us to being like having more self-compassion, because sometimes, and we kind of discussed this before in a previous episode too, is sometimes we get so hard on ourselves. Like, you may be thinking to yourself, oh, I've moved to this place and I've been working at this job, this new job, for such a long time. Why don't I have new friends? Or why am I still not adjusting? Or, you know, we don't give ourselves a chance, and then we're getting on ourselves so much. So then we get like upset, you know, and we start to so kind of like looking at ourselves the same way that we would look at someone else who's going through a change or a move or something like that, and realizing, you know, just like we give them more time to like adjust, and we like say, oh, it's okay, like, you know, you'll be okay, like kind of encouraging yourself and having more compassion for yourself than putting yourself down as to why you haven't adjusted and thinking something's wrong with me. Why, like, maybe I can't make it. And then, you know, kind of like snowball effect thing that happens sometimes. And then, let's see. So then, that kind of like brings us to the fourth way to kind of help reduce feeling homesick, is to keep tabs, on your negativity. And basically what that kind of is realizing that it may not be that it's you that's not adjusting. It may just be the fact that you had a bad day and then you feel really extra homesick, but it's not because you haven't adjusted or you can't make it, you know, especially if you're taking a chance. It could just be that you're having a bad day, or it could just be,
Could be lack of sleep. It could be a lot of different things.
Right.
I think the key is to understand that as a human being, these fluctuations are going to happen. And as long as you don't take them too personal,
right,
then, you know, you'll be okay. Like, as long as you don't over associate with the current feeling.
Exactly.
Because you know, I always tell people, like, a current feeling is just that. It's a current feeling. No one says that you're going to feel this way tomorrow or even in an hour, but it depends on what you do.
Mm-hmm. It does. It really does. And it's so that kind of like helps, because then and trying not to look at all the negative things when you're feeling homesick, because sometimes like I would do that on days when I would feel like really lonely or just feel like homesick and thinking I really just want to go home. And then I would start thinking about all the other negative things. Like in my particular case, it was when I went away to college. So then I'd be like, you know, I haven't even, you know, then I would start thinking about all the assignments that I still had to do. Then I would think to myself, like, if I would have just received like maybe a grade that I wasn't really happy with, then I would start, you know, thinking about that and think of how like I'm a failure now and things like that. And then it kind of just grows because you're, and then you get even more homesick because you feel like everything is going wrong and that you're not good enough or something like that.
Exactly. And it creates that kind of ideal in your head of, well, here I'm failing, but at home I wouldn't be, because
exactly.
Everybody would love me. I don't have to do anything except.
Right. Anything. Right. So it does. I mean, being homesick is okay. And essentially, like, I used to always tell like myself, well, I would get so homesick because I missed home because it was such a good place, you know, and it was something that I associated with really good memories. Like you said, I associated with people that loved me, associated it with just pleasantries. So I think that's why people do get homesick. Or like if you're just somebody who travels a lot, you just get homesick because then you miss your bed. You know, you miss just having your own refrigerator and having your own space. And that's another reason why some people get homesick too, is if they just travel very often. But again, it's just something that everybody experiences. Even people who are well-traveled miss home. People who seem the most confident or seem that they've well-adjusted, everybody misses home. You know, home is something that... For many of us is a good place, and even if it's not necessarily home, just it could just be your hometown. It could be like you're missing the food,
something familiar, because that adds the comfort.
Right, exactly. It's the familiarity and things like that. And just, I remember I have a really good friend who was my friend in college, and I used to think of how homesick he must be because he's from Greece, and we don't have a lot of, like, in that area where we were going to school, there wasn't a lot of Greek food places and things like that. And I used to think to myself, oh, he can't even have, you know, certain foods when he's homesick to kind of like just remind him of home, certain smells, like, though, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of things that factor into why people get homesick, and then ways to get over it. I know that, like, that's why they have like comfort food. Like, that's why it's called that, because it comforts you. Or just certain smells that might remind you of a pleasant time. There's different ways to kind of like cope with it. But I think the main thing is to realize that it's not just you, and that it's not a bad thing. You know, it's okay.
Right.
So we're actually going to cut it to a break real quick. And then when we come back, we're going to discuss how to wean off of soda, which I think is something that, or just juices in general, like sugary drinks. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Back, everyone, and thanks for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Mariano.
And I'm Pauline.
And what we wanted to talk about this time was how to kind of wean yourself off of those things that are really hard to let go of. Typically sugar, namely, you know, soda, juices, and kind of wean yourself onto more water and just the habit of drinking more water, because it's freaking hard. So some of the bigger kind of habit breakers, you know, other than, I guess, for me, it was mostly just a mental thing of just understanding how much healthier the water is for you. It's kind of enough to make up for the lack of taste. Because, yeah, soda tastes way better, but just knowing that the water's doing more for you, it's incentive enough for me to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, I personally love soda. And that's why I picked this topic. Because
I like the taste of soda, too, but there, like, that was my main, like, inspiration to start drinking more water. I didn't really need too many others than just, you know, like, I don't mind doing it. Even if it doesn't taste as good, I don't mind doing it if it's for your own good.
Right. But, I mean, some people, it's a little bit more difficult because sugar is actually very addictive. And sugary drinks such as juice and, like, I mean, it tastes good, you know, and there's, like, different varieties and things that you can choose from. I personally just love, like, the carbonation. Like, I love the carbonation. So there are ways to kind of help you wean off of sugary drinks and sodas and then kind of eventually just not consuming it at all. And so there's a few tips that I wanted to share when it came to that. And one of the first tips, because sometimes for a lot of people, it's really hard to just cut it cold turkey, you know, and to completely say, like, there are people that have said, like, I'm completely done, but then they consume juice. Because I do have, like, friends and people that I know that will say they don't drink soda, but then they'll order lemonade. And I'm like, okay, but it still has the same amount of, you know, carbs, sugars, and all that. But, you know, to each his own. So one way to kind of help you wean off of all of that is, which this particular tip I think would help me actually wean off of soda quickly. One of the things that I was looking up when I was researching this was actually mixing your soda with water. So it's like part soda, part water, basically like watered down soda. Now, if I had to drink watered down soda all the time, I would probably give it up a lot quicker. Because to me personally, watered down soda tastes not good at all. So that's one way to kind of wean yourself off of soda. Another way is to limit yourself. And to, because, like, there's the whole classic, like, if you don't buy it, then you won't have it in the house. But then there's times when, like, you're going out and things like that. So just not ordering it, or only ordering it, like, not consuming soda at home or at work, but only when you go out to eat. So you're kind of, like, limiting the occasions in which that you're going to consume soda or consume juices.
That was a big one for me too, though. If I don't have it in the house, then it's not even a, you know. It's,
right, but then, like, if you're at work, some people have, like, vending machines at work, or like, if it's just in the break room all the time and things like that, it's just, like, easy access. So you may not actually buy it yourself, but it's just there, you know. And so kind of just limiting that and, like, using it as kind of, like, more of, like, a treat rather than just a normal drink that you have. Another thing is to kind of switch up what you're consuming. So perhaps instead of, like, there's, like, organic sodas or, like, the seltzer waters. Because, like, for a person like me, I just personally like a lot of the carbonation. That's what I like. And so switching to waters that are carbonated so that you still kind of get the bubbles, which I like, but it's water. And so that's another way to kind of not trick yourself, but to give yourself what it is that you want without all the added sugars and additives that.
It's like weaning yourself off. I think that that's okay.
Yeah, like weaning yourself off. They have some flavored bubbly waters, which are kind of good. A lot of them are not that good. So you may have to, you know, try a few to decide what you like.
Seltzer water to me is gross.
I
actually, carbonation is what I don't like from soda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it. I don't like the bubbly feeling in my like. You ever drink soda kind of fast and it feels like your stomach is painfully expanding, or like you're drinking too. Whatever it is, something in there just doesn't feel right. Or maybe, like, if you don't drink soda for a long time and then do drink soda, you're much more sensitive to the carbonation and it just doesn't feel right.
See, that's the funny thing. I like it.
I don't like.
I know
I
exactly like, what you're talking about, but then I'm like, ooh, I haven't had bubblies in a while.
Like, I preferred soda when I would drink it after it had sat for a while.
Really? When it's flat?
Yeah, like, because the flavor's still there. So, like, I would like fountain drinks because, you know, they sit, and so the carbonation tends to be gone. But, like, if I were to open a soda and I hear the, like, psst, I would have to kind of let it sit and wait for a minute. And I would even kind of squeeze the bottle.
Can you do
a
that
bit and let the carbonation
sound again?
Seriously, I was really weird about it, but
I love that sound. I'm like, ooh, this Pepsi about to be good. See, and that's my problem. I think it's because I also just enjoy every part of it.
but in terms of quitting it, I think that you made a great point. Just not having it really does do a huge kind of favor for mm-hmm. you in terms of making it easier to get rid of it. But I think too that if you wean yourself off onto other things, like this may sound funny, but I actually drink my amino acids as a drink because mm-hmm. they taste really good. And the thing is, when you drink them normal, like you're supposed to drink them with like 6 to 8 ounces of water.
Right.
They have a really sharp kind of taste. Like they don't taste that great. But when I mix them with 30 ounces of water, it tastes like slightly watered down Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I actually drink that just whenever I want to drink something. And it helps me because I really don't even drink my amino acids for the protein gains. I really just drink them because they help me get in water. So my amino acids are supposed to be red when I mix them, but I pour so much water that they look slightly pink.
Right. And
just that little bit of flavor is enough for me, but they have no sugar, no carbs. It's just branched chain amino acids, and it tastes good enough that mm-hmm. I don't even really want soda.
Right. And yeah, that is true. Like, I guess that's kind of what the idea was behind adding water to your soda. It's kind of you still get a little bit of flavor, but, just like you said, and there's those Crystal Lights that I know that some people enjoy to try to kind of wean yourself off. But I'll do that too. How you were saying, I'll just add a whole lot of water so it gets a little bit of flavor. So I'm kind of telling myself I'm not just drinking water, but I am. But of course, and then adding teas, drinking tea instead.
Arnold Palmer's are so good.
And weaning yourself off of it. And I think just... And for a lot of people, they can just, cut it out. But then you have to remember that sugar is addictive. So there are people that aren't able to cut it back completely that quickly. And so, drinking tea is a little bit better. Like if you really wanted something with flavor or, the different flavored waters that are out now. I know Aquafina has some different, I think it's called Splash or something like that. That you can try as well if you're trying to really wean off of it.
Right. And you know what, too? Just the logical half of it helped me. When you think about how much a soda costs and how much cheaper water is, that makes it easier for me because, for me, to buy, a 1 liter bottle of soda is a couple bucks. To buy a gallon of water is a dollar. And if you have those big 5 gallon jugs, to buy a gallon of water is 25, 35 cents. So it's so hard for me in good conscience to buy a soda, because I'm not balling. I'm not starving either, but it's hard that the little bit of spending money that I do have, I don't want to waste on soda. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what I mean is let's say for example, for me, if I want to go to a mall, the biggest, nicest kind of mall for me is a 45, 50 minute drive. But instead of driving and stopping and getting some soda somewhere, I would rather just take my water bottle, even if I don't put amino acids in it. Because in my head, I'm man, I just saved myself a few bucks.
Right.
And if this water bottle, if I take two or three, then I save myself buying a few sodas because there's an hour drive, a few hours at the mall or whatever, and then an hour on the way back. So that's all day long of fluid. I'm saving myself precious dollars. And everybody finds that thing where either Big Five or JCPenney, wherever you shop, especially Forever 21, you find that thing that's 10, 12 bucks. And you're man, for that price, I need it,
Mm-hmm.
And my rationale for not drinking soda is I totally just freed up, 12 bucks for this thing. So I didn't I otherwise would have spent 22 bucks instead of 12,
Right.
And that's one thing that helps me a lot. And another thing is just being accessible. There's nothing more gross than a hot soda. So I just carry water. Water's simple. Water's easy, and it goes with most everything,
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. It's the fact that it's cheaper helps me mentally. If I want, I'd rather spend my money on a cool pair of shoes than sodas because, over time, $2, $3 adds up. And just the fact that you get so much more liquid for so much less money.
Right. So we're going to cut it to a break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up this episode. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be.
Everyone, thanks for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Mariano.
And I'm Pauline.
And this is going to be my last episode with GSMC, and I couldn't be more happy with all the time that I've spent with these guys. Since this is going to be my last episode, we wanted to kind of discuss, you know, how to stick to future goals, just because I think that it's so much fun to stick to things and have fun, but it's also fun to make way for newer things and, you know, and kind of just keep moving. Because this chapter isn't over yet, you know?
Right.
So what we wanted to discuss was how to stick to your long-term goals, because there are things, and we don't mean necessarily like a how-to plan, because how is never really that difficult to understand. It's really more, even though you know how to do it, sometimes you get discouraged or sometimes you kind of lose steam. And those are some of the things that we wanted to address in this episode. Now, I think a lot of it comes from just knowing yourself and knowing what it is that you may have issues with. Like for me, when I was smaller and younger, I dealt with a lot of insecurity when it came to doing things, because even though I tended to be pretty good at most things that I would try, in my head, I would kind of create these stories of like, oh man, I can't do this, or I'm not going to be as good, so I should just quit now and save myself the embarrassment. But it turns out, you know, that the reality is, as long as you stick to it, chances are you're going to do fine. And mm-hmm. I found out that in my life, at least, way more often than not, I stopped myself. I honestly don't think I can think of a time where something stopped me. Like, I stopped myself and I ruined a lot of things for myself. So it's been a big journey with GSMC, just pushing, you know, into new territory and just going, even when you feel like you should quit because you don't think you'll do a good job, but you just kind of let results speak for themselves. And if it's not good, then it's not good, but it won't be because I didn't try. And I think that just knowing that, like if you understand these things about yourself, then it's okay to push yourself through it. You know, it's a little bit of fear. It may be irrational, but the point is you can work past it and you can overcome it into something better. You know?
Exactly.
What do you think?
No, I think it's true. And I think that everybody learns from previous experiences. So it definitely does help.
Right. And I think that you can't overstate the importance of habits. I think mm-hmm. that habits play a way bigger role in our lives than any of us realize. And what I mean is, if you get into the habit of quitting something when it gets a little scary or a little difficult, and the funny thing is, a lot of times scary and difficult don't come together. Like, I'd be scared of something even though I was doing just fine, and I would quit, and I would make my fear reality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a habit that I had to break, and that's one thing that I really focused on in these last months, you know, working with you guys. And I think that healthy habits go a long way, because those are the things that you kind of rely on as like second nature. So like we were talking about when it came to confidence, on those good days, no one can shake your confidence, and that's great. But it's always on those like downer days when you're just not feeling it that someone says the right thing and it just hits you the wrong way.
Right.
And the reason why that's so powerful is because it's not about the time when you're mentally capable of adjusting yourself and fixing yourself. It's about what you do when you're not at the top of your game. And that's why when you build healthy habits, even when you're not exactly feeling something, you still have the foundation built that'll help you get to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the gym. If you don't go, like if you get into the habit of not going whenever you feel like you're, you know, tired, then you're never going to get anywhere. But if you get into the habit of pushing yourself, pushing through the, you know, the soreness and being tired and being sleepy,
right,
then you start to develop the habit of kind of the mental fortitude aspect of it, of like, no, you know what? Yes, I'm a little tired, but there's a lot of people that are tired, and bottom line is I need to get this done. And you develop a work ethic that's just more profitable, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's more effective, and it'll carry you a much longer way.
And I think that staying just positive also helps, because when things get tough or when they start to become a little bit, or like if you're trying something new and it's unfamiliar, it's just staying positive and like staying focused on what the goal is and staying focused on what you're trying to achieve, even when the going does get a little bit rocky.
Right. You know, and it's funny the way that things work that way. It's funny how, like, humans don't just operate at one kind of speed. You speed up, you slow down, you speed up, you slow down. But the messed up thing is when you slow down, you get scared that you're slowing down. So you kind of freak yourself out. And it creates this, like, vicious cycle of, oh, no, why am I slowing down? What's going on? Am I losing it? Am I, you know?
Right.
And it stops you from speeding back up. One thing that I've kind of learned recently is have a short, like, attention span and a small memory span. And what I mean is, if you failed something in the past, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fail something this time.
Exactly.
What's that?
No, I was saying exactly.
Oh, yeah. And instead of letting the past kind of scare you because it may happen again, you need to just forget that, you know? It's almost a sense of, like, naivety. If someone's going to be a naysayer, I didn't hear you. And if I failed before and I might fail again because of that, I don't remember that. And just keeping that kind of short attention span allows you to stay in the here and now. And the truth of here and now is, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, then you're most likely at least in a good enough position to be like, well, I'm fed, there's a roof over my head, and I can do whatever it is that I need to do, you know? And if you focus too much on what was or what could be, then you're going to stop yourself in the present, when in the present you probably could do just a little bit more to get it done. And sometimes that's all it takes. It's just that little extra effort. Like, how many times have just me and you, Pauline, like, how many times have you beat someone by a tiny amount at anything? You know, mm-hmm. Just that little bit of extra effort can make the world of a difference sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. So, unfortunately, Mariano is leaving us.
I know.
This is time to say goodbye. Dun, 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 dun.
We need to do the really cool soccer one. Na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Hey, goodbye.
So this is it with Pauliano. Yes. But who knows? Maybe Mariano will be a guest sometime.
Yeah,
maybe we'll bring it back. So you have been listening to the Golden Saint Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. You can listen to us on the GSMC Podcast Network website, which is gsmcpodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and also on Stitcher. You can listen to this episode. What was that, Mariana? You're messing up my spiel.
Sorry, well, I was going to say, hopefully you'll hear me pretty soon on the local radio show, so stay tuned.
Yeah, you never know. Might be hearing him sooner rather than later. So I'm Pauline.
I'm Mariano.
And it's been great. I will talk to you soon. Who knows what's going to happen now? Who's going to be my new partner in crime? Will I have a new partner in crime, or will I have to save Gotham myself? We'll never know. Keep it locked here.